So continuing the topic that we've been exploring over the last weeks of conditionality and we've been touching on exploring in particular the last weeks the conditionality not of how and why we suffer and struggle but of the conditionality, the natural unfolding of the practice once we step on the path. The teaching that we've been exploring in this way is called transcendent dependent arising, liberative dependent arising. And it basically starting from suffering, if there are certain conditions that arise together with suffering, in particular, hearing some teachings, hearing the possibility of freedom, hearing the possibility that there's a way to the end of suffering, then a sense of faith can arise, a sense of confidence, a sense of possibility. And from that turning, from our ordinary relationship with suffering, which tends to be our habits and patterns of how to, that we've learned over our history, our original conditioning, the conditioning of our lives has, you know, we've done the best we can in terms of how we meet and respond to suffering. And often it is out of confusion, out of frustration, out of aversion, out of greed, wanting to get rid of, wanting to have, and unwittingly not seeing that those very patterns are entrenching us in the struggle of suffering. And so when a teaching comes along that says there is a way, and that way is possible to engage in, it's not just something to believe in, but actually something to do. For me, this is crucial, this piece of action of engagement, that this chain or these conditions that lead us towards freedom, they engage, the very first one engages our intention to act, to explore the path that's offered. It's not just about believing things. It's not just about waiting, stepping back and waiting. And this is important, I think, because the teaching, the unfolding of this path, the path towards freedom, it is said to be a natural unfolding. That with the arising of faith comes the arising of delight. It's natural, it's said, that it doesn't take an act of will for delight to arise once faith has arisen. It doesn't take an act of will for joy to arise once delight has arisen. It's a natural consequence, the teaching says. It doesn't take an act of will for tranquility to arise following joy. It's natural for this to happen. And yet, as natural as it is, this very first step of faith in this teaching, in this path, faith, to me, this was a little bit of a turning from my original understanding of what faith was, which is, you know, settling back and just believing. But in this particular teaching that the Buddha offers, faith is an encouragement to engage. The teaching doesn't unfold if we just sit back and say, yes, I have faith. What that faith does, the condition of that faith, because this teaching is a teaching of action that says, if you look at your experience, if you engage with this practice, if you observe what happens in your bodies and minds, then this path will unfold. And so the faith that arises is connected with action. This unfolding, this natural unfolding is connected with our willingness to step on the path and engage. So last time we talked about how that faith conditions, and the teaching says faith conditions delight, but it conditions a lot of things before it gets to delight. In particular, it conditions the willingness to engage, the curiosity and the interest to begin to look at our experience, to begin to kind of hold these teachings in our mind and say, well, let's see what happens if I engage in this way. And the action, when we engage, actually pretty quickly it can reveal that it's not simply an idea that this possibility of freedom is there. We get a little taste. We get little tastes of this possibility of freedom. Just little moments of, oh yeah, if I just notice that this anger is here, there's a whole different experience. Or maybe we get a taste of a delight or joy that's connected with other practices that are offered, like generosity or ethics, non-harming. Talked about that part last week, the kind of beginning engagement that we step into and how that can lead to delight. It's the kind of, oh, this isn't just an idea, it's actually possible. And from that possibility, that sense of possibility, kind of a sense of delight is born. And that delight then reinforces the faith, reinforces the confidence, and reinforces the intention to engage. So we keep coming back to that intention to act, to engage, to practice, to engage with the teachings, whatever teachings are most resonant for us out of the many different teachings that the Buddha offered. For me, the key teaching was mindfulness, really. For some, it may be settling the mind and concentration. For others, it might be metta. For others, it might be just the steps of generosity and non-harming, the engagement with our fellow human beings in wholesome ways. And so I understand the way delight is onward leading in this practice, the way the delight then tends to condition the next links in the chain, which are the ones I want to mostly look at tonight, are joy, tranquility, and happiness. Just to kind of do an overview of these three together. Partly the way the delight conditions the joy, you'd say that joy is a kind of a deepening of delight. And that delight conditions joy precisely because that delight kind of offers a little bit of confirmation of, oh yeah, this path is working. This path is helpful. These things that I've been doing, they're having an effect. And so we keep engaging. We keep being curious. And that strengthens the understanding. It strengthens what we've learned. The joy in this particular teaching is, I think both the delight and the joy, the delight, the joy, the tranquility, the happiness, we could say, these are not our ordinary kinds of delight and joy. The delight is a delight in finding the possibility of a way to freedom. The delight in engaging with our fellow human beings in a way that we don't have a cause for regret or remorse. So it's not the ordinary kind of delight of, oh, I've got something I like. In fact, the delight of the path, you know, the very teachings of the path that we start with are, yeah, letting go is actually the way to the deepest kind of happiness. Completely counterintuitive from our usual perspective. We think that getting something is what is going to make me happy. And so this, the happiness, the delight, the joy, the tranquility, the happiness are really about letting go here. And so the practice that we engage with is a practice of looking at our experience, being curious about what is this human experience, mindful and aware of what's arising, both of the suffering and the delight and the joy. And as we do that, we start to see a few particular flavors of experience on the suffering side of things. These are often called the hindrances. We start to see the flavor of these hindrances as directly experienced as stress, as counter to the direction that we'd like to head, counter to well-being. And in stepping onto this path, we begin to get tastes of well-being, tastes of the experience of well-being. And with those tastes, we begin to experience what's not well-being as particularly kind of stand out. Oh, that's not the direction. That's not where I'm going. Not where this being wants to head. And so paying attention, we start to be curious about those qualities themselves, not to reject them, but to understand them. And this is the basic teaching that we have faith in, that we engage with, that we can observe and look at our experience, even these hindrances of ill will, of sense desire, of sleepiness and dullness, of restlessness and anxiety and of doubt. We can meet them with mindfulness. And we begin to see through that practice, through exploring that the experience of ill will met with mindfulness is radically different than the experience of ill will being kind of running the show. When we experience ill will running the show, we often feel a kind of constriction or a contraction when we're aware of it. But as soon as we become aware of it, there can be some space that we recognize, oh, this is just this quality of mind that's happening. We feel the suffering of it. We understand it's not helpful. And there's a shift. There can be a shift in the experience. And maybe even a letting go at times of those habits and patterns of mind. So the joy that's described in this particular list, we could say, is the joy that arises with the deepening of the practice as we come to the place where we've explored those reactive states of the hindrances and get the taste of what it's like when they're not there. That experience, when those qualities of sense desire, of ill will, sense desire, that the feeling, it's not just, it's not being in contact with something that's sensually pleasant, but it's the wanting, the leaning, the feeling like our happiness depends on having that thing. And the ill will is this feeling like my happiness depends on getting rid of something unpleasant. Sloth and torpor, the dullness of mind that really can't contact experience fully, the restlessness and anxiety, a kind of a jumping around of the mind that can't really land with experience, and doubt, beliefs and ideas that kind of get in the way of the confidence in the engagement, the confidence that we can practice, the confidence that we can look at our experience and have it be valuable. So as we explore through the understanding, through faith, as faith arises, that, oh, this is a possibility. Observing experience is helpful. So the engagement with that, we get the taste that it is helpful. Then we may begin through the continuing exploration of that, the continued application of that practice. We might at times get the taste of what it's like when the mind doesn't have ill will, doesn't have sense desire. It's not either pushing or pulling at anything. It's alert and bright. It's stable, not jumping around, and it's confident. That experience, there's a term for it, is the bliss of seclusion, seclusion from the hindrances. And it's a very delightful, joyful state of mind. This is what the joy of this stage of the path. It's not the joy of getting something and say, oh, I'm having a great time. It's the joy of the release. Again, the absence of something is the joy of the release from those habits and patterns of mind which are actually experienced as suffering. We have a taste, a little taste of a real reduction in suffering at this point. And that creates a lot of joy. So again, you know, this is not just settling back. The naturalness of the unfolding here is not just like, oh, there's delight. Oh, I just have to sit here. That delight inspires more action, which inspires engagement, which inspires the effort to really look at our struggles, the suffering of our minds, and get the taste of what happens as they weaken, as those hindrances weaken and release. You get the taste of that joy, that delight, that joy. Sometimes this term, the Pali term for this link, is called piti. And it's sometimes translated as rapture. So it can have very strong qualities. It can be very energetic in the body, feel like bubbly or waves of energy, or sometimes like waves crashing or floating or lightness in the body. A lot of varieties of flavors of this. And some of them have a kind of an energetic quality to them. That sometimes it's really felt as a strong energy in the body. And as we keep practicing, again, this joy will tend to inspire us to keep going. It reinforces that faith, which encourages us to keep practicing. But at this point, we need to start looking at, we're not looking at so much all the reactivity in the mind. We start looking at the experiences that are arising, the joy, the delight, the bodily sensations that come with that. And so we start feeling into that, and what we might begin to recognize there, one of the kind of natural movements there, is as we begin to explore that experience of the joy and the rapture, the energy of it is experienced as a little much at times. You know, it gets a little intense. It's delightful. But it also can get strong. If you're sitting in it for a while, or sometimes it can come up really fast. I've had the experience of it kind of arising really quickly, and it gets so intense. This happened to me. I was sitting at my dining room table having breakfast, and just a very strong wave of joy arose, just through being present. It was, you know, this the joy can arise in dependence on just the mindfulness practice, or it can arise in dependence on kind of a focused concentration. Both can create this kind of stability of mind that allows the mind to let go of the hindrances for a little while. And I felt this very strong wave of happiness come up, and it was intense. It was a little bit unpleasant. It was a little bit scary. It was a little bit overwhelming. And fortunately, there was some wisdom. The wisdom that arose in my mind in that moment was kind of funny as I saw it. The wisdom that arose in my mind was, "That's okay. It won't last." And so I'd let go with that and just really let it happen. It kind of like gave me the space. Okay, if it's not going to last, it can be here for a few minutes or whatever. And it really went through with a very strong movement of energy. And on the other side of it, the system, the kind of the system released that energy, which is the movement of tranquility. This is a natural movement following the joy for the mind to kind of naturally move in the direction of release of that energetic quality. The mind kind of recognizes that the path to well-being moves towards a little more stillness, a little less energy. And so there's a kind of a release from that energy. This is the tranquility that is this next step. It can. An analogy for this kind of tranquility. Sometimes it might be strong, like it was with that example for me of that very strong joy that went through. And the system released that energy there. And on the other side of it was a much more quiet kind of happiness. And that's the next link in the chain. To me, these three, they can come very quickly one upon another. And in a way, my experience with the joy that went through so fast when the mind said, "That's okay, it won't last," and it just kind of went through. It felt like this big wave crashing. And on the other side, it was like that wave crashed and just got still. So there was more quiet, more settledness of mind. So the first thing that the mind notices is the release of that energy, which is the tranquility. But then sitting with that place of the tranquility, that release of that energy, the letting go of that energy. Again, the letting go is the natural movement here. That letting go of that energy. What was experienced then was kind of like staying in that place, following the joy, releasing its energy, the recognition was, oh, this is happiness. A calm content kind of experience. Contentment, well-being, those are descriptions of that experience of happiness. Very quiet. And so I think of happiness as containing the tranquility in a way. It's like different. It's looking at the happiness, it's looking at it from different lenses, kind of. Sometimes you might be more attuned to the quiet there, other times more to the kind of uplifting quality, the experience of the pleasantness of it. Sukha is the term for this part of the path. Piti, joy, pasadi, tranquility, and sukha, happiness. There's an analogy about these three, or actually it's about delight, joy, and then happiness. In terms of somebody traveling through the desert and very thirsty, wandering through the desert, and then hearing or seeing off in the distance, oh, there's an oasis there. So that's like hearing, oh, there's a possibility for freedom. There's a possibility for release from this suffering that I have. This wandering through the desert is suffering. There is this oasis. There is the possibility for release from this suffering. And so the hearing of that creates some delight. The seeing of the oasis in the distance creates delight. That's that first step, the teaching, or the hearing of it, or the seeing of it, is kind of like akin to hearing the teachings. Oh, there is a possibility. And so you don't just sit down at that point, right? I mean, you don't just sit down and say, oh, there's a possibility of having an oasis. You take steps to get there. So there's the action that follows from the seeing of that possibility. So you take the steps to get there. When you arrive at the oasis, there's the joy of arriving and getting to drink the water, the shade of the trees, the coolness that happens, that is joyful. The experience of drinking that water creates a kind of an energetic experience of, it's here. I've got, you know, I'm not going to suffer this kind of thirst anymore. So there is that kind of joy that comes. So that's said to be similar to the joy or the rapture. And then once you've had your drink, once you have drunk your fill for the moment and are resting in the shade of the trees, that is said to be like the happiness. You no longer have to be acting to drink the water, and you're no longer needing to have that be satisfied. The satisfaction is there, that there's no need to keep seeking. And so the happiness is like the resting in that shade of the tree after you've had the opportunity to drink. And so the happiness contains the tranquility there, that kind of the calming, the settling, the relaxation, the ease. So this kind of happiness, again, is a happiness of letting go. It is, there can be a little bit of kind of, we can get a little hooked to the joy, a little hooked to the kind of intensity of it in a way. And a little bit of like needing even that, you know, kind of a reaching out for that. So we're no longer reaching out for necessarily, you know, some kind of sense pleasure of getting something, but we are reaching out instead for that quality of mind and maybe thinking this is it. I mean, we can have that idea. This is what they're talking about, this kind of joy. This is fantastic. And yet when we start to really touch into it, we see the extra energy there, a little bit of agitation in the mind with the joy and towards the reaching for it. And so the happiness comes as we, again, let go of that reaching for it. Sense of the mind taking delight and joy and happiness in just being, not in needing anything. There's a kind of the recognition of the happiness that can come from just being. So I'm going to take 1 minute. We're 1 minute over, but I'm going to take 1 minute to read a quote from the Dhammapada. This speaks, I think, to our usual way of finding happiness, our usual way of thinking happiness will arise by getting something that we want, getting rid of something that we don't want. But instead kind of seeing there might be another direction, that is, by letting go instead of by having. So the poem goes, if by giving up a lesser happiness, one could experience greater happiness, a wise person would let go of the lesser to behold the greater. And that's what we're asked to do, to let go. And at first we have to take that on faith, that the delight, the joy, the happiness of this direction of letting go, of not following our usual habitual tendencies about how we find happiness. At first, we do have to take that on faith. We have to listen to people who have said, yes, I've tried this, and yes, there's definitely a deeper kind of happiness from the letting go than there is from the having. And so we have to take that on faith at first, but it actually doesn't take that long before we get some little tastes of delight, some little tastes of joy, maybe some little tastes of tranquility and happiness. And if we are attentive to those, if we are aware when those happen, even in the midst of looking at something that's painful and challenging, even looking at something like anger or confusion or self-hatred, we might see little tastes of release and ease while looking at it. And if we notice those that strengthens the direction of this path. Because the way mindfulness works is when we are aware of these wholesome qualities of delight, of joy, of tranquility, of happiness, when we're aware of those, it tends to strengthen them, which creates more confidence in the path, which then strengthens them more. So it is a natural unfolding, and yet it's a natural unfolding with engagement.